Well, once again, ladies, we want to welcome you tonight to our fall dinner event. For those of you who I don't know, I am Caroline Williams, and I am president of the Women in the Church this year, and we are so glad to see each one of you here tonight. I want to make an announcement for our next event. It's going to be a luncheon during the Fall Bible Conference. It's going to be on Monday, October 21st at 11:30. So it's coming up in the next few weeks. And Sandy Wilson is going to be our speaker. So be on the lookout for the sign up for that, because we would love to have you come back and be a part of that that luncheon. To my left, I have Margaret Lois Romanowski, who is the Spiritual Growth Chairman, and Caroline Johnson, who is the Assistant Spiritual Growth for this year's Women in the Church Council, and they are going to introduce our speakers.
Okay, first of all, I would want to tell a little bit about how we got Cam and Betty to come and speak to us. When we first started talking, when Caroline and I first started talking with Becky about our fall program, we decided that we wanted to have someone from our church just so we could get to know the ladies in our congregation. So Caroline mentioned that Betty Bopp and Cam Fox had come and spoken to their mother-to-mother group on Thursday mornings, which is the mother-to-mother is kind of a younger group of mothers. And she said what a huge impact that it had had on them when they came and spoke. So thankfully, we talked to Cam and Betty, and they agreed to come and speak to us here tonight. As we were talking about this program tonight, Caroline and Becky and I were talking about the importance of all of us as women, how no matter what our age is, that it's important for us to share with each other and be there for each other. And we talked about mentors we'd had through the years and how much they meant to us. And I see there's several people here in this room that were mentors to me through the years, and it means so much. And some of them were one-on-one with me. Some of them were small group leaders, and some were just friends that have just been there and given advice through the years. And the word mentor is a little bit daunting, and it doesn't have to be. I know that a lot of us feel like we don't have anything to offer anyone. Some of the, you know, some of us middle-aged people feel like we don't. And, but that's not true. It could be as small as a note of encouragement to someone that is God puts on your mind, or an offer to babysit or stay with someone's young children while they just go to the grocery store. It could just be anything. So we decided the cards on the table, they're on everybody's table, are for you to fill out if you're interested. It's the first little box says, I'm interested in mentoring, discipling a younger woman. Don't let those words freak you out, because they kind of freak me out. It could be something real, like it could be as easy as just going to get coffee, or taking a walk with somebody if you live in the same neighborhood, or, you know, going to get a glass of wine or something. It could be just something very, it doesn't have to be a Bible study. It doesn't have to be structured, although it could be. But anyway, and the next block says, I'm interested in being mentored by an older woman. So if you will just put, if you're interested, you can take this home and think about it, pray about it. If you know right now, hey, this is something I'm interested in, I've been thinking about it, put your name and your email and your phone number. And also, I would maybe on the back put a little bit about your age range and what your family situation is. And that way, Becky May can match you up with somebody. But that's all I have to say about that. And we're going to hear from Cam and Betty, Cam Fox and Betty Bopp. Cam has been a member of this church for 53 years. She has three daughters, Katie, Ruthie, and Cammie. And Betty Bopp has raised four children, Betty Faye, Susan, and Sarah, and Tommy. Cam has 11 grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. And Betty has 13 grandchildren and just had her six great-grandchildren. So there's a lot of wisdom in for them, and we look forward to hearing what they have to say to us.
I've never done this. Would y'all pray with me? Father, we do thank you that you have brought us together as women to worship you. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us, and that we would glorify you, Lord, in everything that we say and think. In Jesus' name, amen. Can y'all hear me? I've never spoken in one of these things before. I decided that what I wanted to share, I wanted to wrap verses around what I wanted to say. And my first verse that I've chosen is Titus 2, chapter 2, and it's verse 4. And it says, the older women will teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be workers in their home. And I chose this because I experienced this when I came to Trinity Church. I was 26. Steve was 27. We had just moved to Montgomery. And we had visited a lot of churches, but when we came to Trinity, we liked it best of all because we knew everybody here. It was just a lot of friends that we had from school and just couples that we had gotten to know. But we did not know the Lord at that time in our lives. And so we didn't know if it was okay to join a church just because you liked everybody there. But we did go lots of times, and we had so much fun when we went. But sweet Dr. Strong came to see us. And I remember Steve saying, well, Dr. Strong, we really like Trinity Church. But, you know, the reason that we like it is because we know a lot of people there, and there are a lot of people there our age, and we really have fun when we come over there. But we just didn't know if that was an okay reason to join a church. And he said, absolutely, Steve. He said, that is a great reason to join a church. So come on, bring your family, and y'all come on. So we did, and we joined. And my friends here were so sweet. They took me to everything, things I'd never heard of before. I'd never been to a circle before. But they took me to circle. They took me to Bible studies. They took me to prayer meetings, luncheons. And at that time here at Trinity, we had a women's Bible study every Wednesday morning. It was women of all ages, and we all met together, and one of our ministers taught the class. And that was where I first heard Annie Rush pray. And I'm going to tell you, I had never, ever heard anything like that before. I had never heard anyone pray that way. And I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit just put in my heart, I want that. She knows something that I don't know. And whatever it is she's got, I want it. And then another morning after class, sweet Peggy Joseph came up to me and she said, Cam, now are you already praying for husbands of your little girls? And I said, am I supposed to do that? And she said, yes, you are. And so you can bet I started that day. But I continued to enjoy this group of ladies so much, and I just listened to what they had to say. And any time that I thought Annie might be praying, I wanted to be there because it just so touched my heart. I want you to flash forward, if you would, 53 years when Steve, my husband, died. I knew that really the only place that I could go other than my house on my sofa with my Bible was here, because this was our home for our family for so many years, and it was where we just wanted to be. And so that very first Wednesday night, I walked through those doors trembling, and the first person that came up to me was Annie, and she put her arms around me, and she whispered in my ear, and she said, you're going to make it. And you know what? I believed her, and I believed her because I knew what was in her heart. And I knew who was in her heart. She's still doing that for me, by the way. My next verse that I'd like to touch on is Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I want you to think about that little word, all. It's a really small little word. But this is one of the greatest promises that our Lord gives his people. It is amazing. And by using that little tiny word all, he covers every situation in your life, every circumstance that comes your way, all of them. the great big ones, the trials, he covers those. And then the little ones, the ones where it's just everyday humdrum. You're at home, you're wondering what everybody else is doing, and you're lonely, and you're just cleaning the house and putting up dishes. He's covering that too. And I want you to know, he says all of your circumstances, he is working them out. And it's for his purpose. And his purpose is to draw you closer to him every day of your life. Every day of your life. I have two examples of that verse for you. The first one, I'm taking you way back. Steve and I went to the University of Alabama, and we were married while we were in school. And we lived in university housing and for one semester before graduation. And we just had a wonderful time. We loved college life. We loved college life married. It was good. It was really good. All our friends were there. We had some friends that were there married that lived where we did. But then the very day after graduation, we left home and everybody and went to Fort Lee, Virginia, to be in the Army for 2 years. This was not good. This was not one of my all goods. We did not know a soul, not a soul. And when we drove into the base late that afternoon, we had to find the little apartment that Steve's brother had rented for us. I would emphasize the word little. It was really tiny. And I'm a home person. I love my house, and I like to piddle in my house. And when I saw it, I thought, well, you know, I'll probably have about 3 minutes of piddling time here. So it was not good. There was nothing good about it. And the next morning at 5 o'clock, he left to go do whatever soldiers do and didn't come home until dark. And I spent the whole day alone crying most of the day. I was in the early stages of our first pregnancy, and I was sick. And I thought, this is so not good, and it's 2 years of this. Now, I want you to know, Steve and I did not know the Lord at this time, but he knew us. And he was working all of this for good. He was establishing our marriage. The only thing we knew about marriage, I was 20, he was 21. The only thing we knew about marriage was college life. And so we really were stumbling. And so right away we began to depend on each other totally. We didn't have anybody else. And we learned to talk about everything, everything. There was no one else to talk to, and you didn't have cell phones or email or anything. And we learned to manage money and the lack of it. And we became best friends. And we stayed best friends for the rest of our married life. So he was working it out for our good. We just didn't know it at the time. My second illustration of that is a little bit bigger, all thing. When we got out of the Army, Steve had to find a job. And my dream was that we would go back to his hometown, Greenville, Alabama, and he would work for his daddy selling cars, and I would have my little house and my little picket fence and flowers and everything, and that was going to be really good. And that was what I thought it would be, and it was my dream. So we went back, but it did not work out. It was not what Steve wanted. It was not his dream. He had majored in advertising at the University of Alabama, and he had great creative mind, and he envisioned himself as a big advertising executive in a big city, and that was his dream. And so I wanted his dream for him. It was not my dream, but I wanted his dream for him. I left my dream. So he went to Atlanta. I did think he was wonderful, though. I figured everybody in Atlanta was going to want Steve. And much to our surprise, nobody wanted him. Nobody. He interviewed with so many agencies up there, and no one even called him back for a second interview. And they all said the same thing. You're too young. You don't have any experience. Come see us in 10 years. So it was pretty bleak, and we were very downhearted about the whole thing. He came back home, and a friend called and said, Steve, I think I can get you a job in Atlanta. It's not going to be with an advertising agency. It's going to be with a printing company. It's a really big printing company. And I know it's not what you want, but you're at least getting to the big city. And I've already called them, and I think they'll interview you. They'll talk to you. So this was way down on his list of what he would have wanted. It was not good in his eyes. But he went for the interview, and they gave him the job. But they said, now, Steve, we're going to put you in the basement for a little while. And you need to learn what printing is all about. And eventually, we'll get you back upstairs where you can sell. So he went to the basement. And, you know, I think sometimes the Lord gives wives real wisdom to share with their husbands when they need it. That's not scriptural, but I think that's true. So after 6 months of Steve being in the basement, I said, honey, you know, I think they've forgotten about you. And, you know, and this is what you need to do. You need to go upstairs tomorrow, and you need to go tell them that you've been in the basement 6 months, and you know everything there is to know about printing, and you want to come upstairs. And so he did, and you know what? They had forgotten about him. The Lord had not forgotten about him, but they had forgotten about him. Again, I would tell you, we did not know the Lord. We still didn't know the Lord, but he knew us, and he knew that in 3 years, we were going to move to Montgomery, Alabama, and Steve would have the opportunity to buy a little printing shop that was going bankrupt, and he would have to know everything there was to know about printing to bring that business back up to work in order. I'm just telling you, I want you to understand what my purpose in these two stories is, that he is working in your life all the time with all the things that are in your life. He's working tonight. He was working yesterday. He's going to be working in your life tomorrow. And he's using every circumstance that he brings to work it together for your good and for his purpose, which is to make you closer to him. So believe it. Act on it. Act on what you believe and trust it. And when those things don't look good, know that it's your Lord that's doing something in it. I want to go back before I close. I want to start back at the beginning and bring the verse back with the Titus 2. Because it's in Scripture, I think you would agree with me that really all women like to share things that have happened to us through the years with the people that we love. We like to encourage them in the things that we did that turned out, and we like to share with them, don't do this that I did. It's just a natural outpouring of just teaching that God puts in us. We have three daughters, and all three of my daughters are wonderful wives. They are wonderful wives. And they're all wonderful, amazing mothers. When we lost their daddy, And it was a great loss for us. I asked the Lord to give me His grace to teach maybe just one more thing to my girls. And that was that our God does what He says He can do. And that they would see, not what I would tell them, but what they might see in their mama, that He keeps His promises. When He says to you, my strength is sufficient for your weaknesses, He means it. When He says, I will provide all your needs, He does. When He says, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you, He doesn't. And when He says, I will guide you and direct you in the way that you should go, He does. He really does. And when in Isaiah He says, fear not, I'm with you. Do not anxiously look around you. I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And He does. He does. So thank you, ladies, for letting me share. Thank you for wanting us to share. And I can tell you that it is really a privilege, and I can call it that because I'm getting ready to sit down.
She's a hard one to follow. So I hope you'll bear with me as I tell you some of the stories of my life. My verse for you is James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and it is effective. Now, I would like to ask you a question. Why would a Presbyterian marry a Catholic? Well, my mother went to visit our preacher, Dr. James Gailey, and asked him about the marriage. And he said, Bessie, don't worry about it. It's perfectly all right for Betty and Herman to get married. So November the 6th, 1964, Herman and I were married, and we were married for 63 wonderful years. We lived in Brewton, Alabama for 6 years. Then Gulf Oil transferred us to Meridian, Mississippi. And then they transferred us back to Montgomery. I called my friend Leotz in Brewton, who was an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And I said, Lee, where do I go to church in Montgomery? And he said, Trinity. So here I am. And my dear friends, Betty and Dick Madison, brought Campus Crusade to Montgomery many years ago. And one weekend, they had asked some people from Birmingham to come down and give us a talk. Well, I went to a class that Mary Glenn Peoples had. And that night, she talked about God's love, His mercy, and His grace. The Holy Spirit touched my life that night. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive my sins. Well, I thought I was a Christian. I had been going to church all of my life. And in Brewton, I had held several offices in the church, but I was not a Christian. The next week, I sat down at the breakfast table, and I wrote out all the sins that I could think of from my youth until that day. And then, it was a long list. And then I wrote over those sins, paid in full. Jesus had paid the debt that I owed. I could never have paid that debt. But when he died on the cross, he took my sins and gave me his righteousness. Well, we were friends with Mr. I've forgotten his name right now, but a couple here in Montgomery, and they did not have any children. And they wanted Betty Faye to go to Mexico with Jan and Bebo Elkin. And Herman said no. So I prayed about it, and I went back and asked him again. And this time he said yes. You know, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to behold. Betty Faye fell in love with the Spanish language. And when she went to Auburn, she majored in Spanish and history. Then she went to Mountain Brook and taught Spanish for a while, moved back to Montgomery, and she taught at the academy, and some of her students are here tonight. And then she taught at St. James, and then she taught for 1 year at Trinity because they could not find a Spanish teacher. And I think that God used that trip to tell her what she needed to do with her life. Well, I was in a prayer group with the greatest prayer warrior I have ever known. Her name was Frances Smith, and many of you know her, but she's been deceased for a long time. And while we were in this prayer group together, Betty Faye developed non-Hodgkin's B-cell lymphoma, which is a non-curable cancer. Well, Frances prayed that God would let Betty Faye live to see her children. Not her children, her little girls. They were 2 and 3 at the time. Well, Betty Faye needed a bone marrow transplant, and she and Ed went to Birmingham to make plans for that. Betty Faye had to give a little more bone marrow, and she had to give some blood. And when her doctor went back to see the results of the test, he came into the room and he said, "Betty Faye, there is not a sign of cancer in your body." And I do not know how to explain that. She said, "I'll be glad to tell you." Said there were so many people praying that God would heal me, and that is what he did. God answers prayer. Well, Dr. Osterson, a former minister of this church, was going to teach on Revelation Wednesday nights. And Herman said, "Betty, I think I'd like to go and hear that." So every Wednesday night, Herman came to hear Dr. O, as we called him. And then he began to come to church at night, and then the 11 o'clock service, and then to Sunday school. Well, all of my children were brought up in the Catholic Church. They learned the Catholic Catechism, but they were also brought up in Trinity. They came to church, they went to the youth group, and they sang in the choir. Well, Herman had told the children that when you reach the age of 18, you can join any church that you want to. All of my children joined Trinity Church. Well, we had a missions conference many years ago, and this mother told me that her young son could not sleep at night because he slept in a different bed every night. Back then, the missionaries, when they came home on furlough, only had $350 to find a place to live. And I thought, we need mission homes. So Dr. Hoke, an interim pastor here at that time, was asked by me if we could have mission houses. And he said emphatically, there's no way that you can do that. Well, I want you to know if God lays something on your heart, he's going to find a way to work it out. Well, a lady at Trinity passed away, and the church gave me that house to become our first missions house. And Gay Rue, a deceased member of this church, helped me to buy some furniture and get that house presentable. Bishop Parker gave us mattresses for the beds, and the presbytery furnished everything that we needed to make that house habitable. Well, it was not long afterwards that the Dothan Church gave us a home for missionaries, and the presbytery took care of that. Well, then a doctor from Ozark wanted to go to Belize for a couple of years as a missionary, and we had his house. Well, it was not too many years later that the Dothan home took their home away, and the doctor came back from Belize. We still have two missionary homes, the original home and the one next door. God works everything out the way he wants to, and we can trust him with all of our heart. Well, Betty Fay developed cancer again. This time, it was pancreatic cancer, and the Lord was going to take her home, and he did 3 years ago. But Betty Fay lived long enough to see her daddy join Trinity Presbyterian Church, and her girls were grown. Elizabeth Lee was a senior at Auburn, and Anna was a junior. Frances Smith Pryor was answered so many years later. And then my children and my family and I had been praying for years for Herman to join Trinity Church. One Sunday morning at breakfast, Herman said, Betty, what do you think if I join Trinity? And I said, praise God. And that night, he and Claude went back to Claude's office and talked. Then he met with the session, and Herman joined Trinity. He loved the people of Trinity. He loved his Sunday school class and all of its members. He loved the preachers, and he just loved Trinity Church and coming to church. And he always wanted to be on time, so we were. But God answered another prayer. Now, I'm going to put my glasses on because I have not learned this, but I want to tell you about it. Remember, if you follow Jesus, you're a chosen one and God's special possession, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God can use each one of you in this room to honor him if you follow him with your whole heart. You are chosen of God, his special possession. And I'm going to end with this verse, James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is strong, powerful, effective. And that's all I have to say, except thank you so much for listening to me and to Cam. And we just pray that each one of you have a safe trip home and that you will serve the Lord with all your heart. because that's what he wants you to do. Thank you.